This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. And each week we rotate through different growth strategies for your mid-sized company. Our audience is composed of four groups. One group is the people who own and are presidents and CEOs of companies at about $20 million. Second group are companies of about $10 million. Third group are the division heads and presidents of corporations. And the fourth group are companies that are fairly small that are thinking about where they're going to be going in the future. So hello to all of you. And most weeks we have people who are, it's like a peer-to-peer show. And we have you talking to one another, so it would be a CEO of a $20 million company describing how they have done that growth strategy of the week. So if it's franchising or if it's geographic expansion or an IPO, a CEO would be talking to you as a peer about how they did it. And every once in a while, I take the time to do a solo presentation and say, all right, let's sit back and think about what have I been seeing in my client base. I've been a growth strategist for, I almost don't want to say it, it makes me sound old, and I feel like such a young person. It's been over 30 years that I've been working as a consultant, and I've had over 800 clients. And so after a while, you know, you start seeing these patterns. And so I decided to do a solo presentation today. And one of the reasons is that I am seeing some patterns this year that are making me think, making me look at what customers are doing. And I wanted to talk about growing your business through professional coaching. And there's three or four topics behind that major rubric. One is that I'd like to encourage you to think about having professional coaches because there really is some good work being done. There are some certified coaches out there that know what they're doing. There is value to having the objectivity, to having the safe place for you to talk as an executive. You know, you really have to be careful even to what you say to the board, even what you say to your own executive committee, even what you say to your spouse, because the spouse is going to be tired of hearing it after a while. But there also are some other issues related to certificate, you know, non-certified, non-prepared, you know, so we got to talk about that. How do you even choose a coach? What are you looking for? Who does what kind of things? That type of thing. So there's going to be some, I'll have some conversations about, you know, what kind of coaches are out there. The second piece of what I want to talk about today is that the variety of context that coaching is being done. I have a number of clients where, you know, some of their questions are, is it only the top exec that deserves to have coaching? And if they want to have the rest of the C group get coaching, where do they go? How much do they do versus they have outside people? So I'll give you some examples from some of my clients of how they've addressed that question. You can spend an awful lot of money, and one of the risks you have is you can have it become disjointed. It can feel like, you know, they're getting advice from so many different venues that you don't have the cohesion that you used to as a bonded group. So I'll talk to you about how you resolve that. And the third piece I'd like you to look at is the chemistry. The chemistry issue within, you know, it's the composition of your strategy, your business, but the chemistry among the people who are doing the coaching. How do you evaluate that? What are you looking for? And there's a number of other things. But most of it's a series of stories. You know, like what are some of the things I'm seeing about the value of coaches? Where are they coming from? What are some of the positives? What are some of the negatives? What are some of the decisions you have to make? What are some of the costs involved? That kind of thing. Okay? Now, there are some coaching societies out there. There's way too many. This is one of the issues that I see happening. There's no barriers to entry to somebody becoming a professional coach. They can just declare themselves this. This is one of the problems that happened in management consulting not that many years ago. It used to be called freelancers. Somebody would be called a project person. Someone would be called unemployed. And, no, oh, we can't have that. We can't have them labeled that. They're just instantly, poof, now they're a consultant. I was on a trip out in Kansas City one time, and I got a business card from a taxi driver. Now, he's not a taxi cab driver. He's a transportation consultant. That's what his business card said. And somebody who does your hair, somebody who cuts your hair, isn't even somebody who is a professional hairstylist. No, they're a beautician, but that's not even enough. They have to have a, you know, something like a beauty consultant. They have to have the word consultant on it. Well, now, everybody and their sister and brother is a coach. And so it's a big issue to really figure out, you know, who knows what they're doing. And there is a difference between a consultant and a coach. Consultants often have a content expertise. There is an expectation that they will have knowledge in your field, knowledge in your industry, knowledge in the task that they're going to be doing. For example, if you have a consultant that's helping you with IT, with the computers, with your finances, they would know budgets, they would know the software, they would have done that particular procedure if they're a quality consultant. They know how to use statistics, they know how to measure process, and they're going to give you recommendations, and you're going to expect content, you're going to expect reports. In coaching, the expectation is much more around process, around you're the one that would know the content, and that they would be listening to where you're headed. And it's much more like therapy. It's much more around, where are you getting stuck? What are you wanting to do? What is interfering with you making progress? It's much more around what's in your head and interfering with you making the decisions that you want to make. What's stopping you? And it's more than a cheerleader. You know, a coach is much more of a person that can see, like, let's say, for example, somebody who can coach football. They might not have necessarily been the best football player themselves. They're going to know the sport, but they can watch you as an instrument on the field. They can watch you as a halfback or a fullback or a quarterback, and they can see where you might get stuck. Where, when you're running, what stops you from running well? When you're throwing, what stops you from throwing well? And can make suggestions about changes that you can make in your swing or your running, or the way you stand, or the way you breathe, that could change what you're doing. So they know enough about the context of what you're doing, but their recommendations are more about you as the instrument than about the content, or about the game, or about the company, or about the business itself. That makes some sense? So the background of coaches often is much more around psychology. Coaches often have experience with communications. Coaches have experience in learning. They're much more on the teaching side of things than the people who are consultants. And it matters. Listen to the results that they get. When you think about a Tiger Woods, you know, his father was apparently a really good coach for him. You know, I don't even know if he was a great golfer, but he certainly was a good coach for his son. He was able to get him to talk about why he played golf, get him to see the greatness of the game, get him to see his own greatness, and to encourage him to practice and why he needed to. Later on, when he got to a certain point in his game, believe it or not, he was even able to see that he needed to change his grip, which is an amazing thing, and look at his swing recently. Absolutely amazing that he would need a coach again to look at what he was doing. So the point is, there is a difference between consultants and coaches. Now, let's get specific. I have a client that's in the wholesale business, and they've really grown quite rapidly from about $20 million to over $100 million in a short period of time, 5-6 years, to give you the scale of what they're talking about. They've grown over fivefold in 5 years. Now, to do that, they've had some of the existing people that they had on staff stay. And at $20 million, somebody who's over a warehouse, they're the doer. They're somebody who can still get on the forklift. They're somebody who can still figure out what kind of trucks we're going to be buying. They're a guy who can still figure out the schedules. They're a guy who can that knows exactly where the branches are, and they probably know who's showing up in the morning. They don't have a lot of technical expertise. They don't necessarily know all the different layouts of the warehouses, and they haven't visited the great big warehouses, and they don't necessarily know all the new software. They don't necessarily know about barcoding, because at about $20 million, you haven't had the money to get to that point. You don't know about EDI. You don't know about electronic ordering, and your purchasing department is probably one person at about $20 million. So you think about the person who is over warehouses. You might have one major warehouse at $20 million. What is that guy or that gal like who is, maybe they have the title of operations, but what are they like? They're a doer. They're a doer, and they may have somebody in shipping and receiving. They may have somebody who is opening and closing the building. They have a couple of drivers. think about what their expertise is like. And they work hard. They get up early in the morning, and they make things happen. And they're on the phone, but are they oriented to computers? Are they oriented to reports? Are they oriented to teaching? No. Now, that same company, when they want to grow, especially if they want to grow really fast, would you assume that that same guy who can work that hard and is a doer, you know, dirty fingernails, you can picture it, and jeans, and steel toes, and hard hat, and rides a forklift, is he going to be able to figure out how many new locations you're going to need? Is he going to be able to figure out when you need to move the racking system? Is he going to be able to figure out which software system? Are you going to, you know, put in Eclipse or something else? Is he going to be able to figure out, you know, how fast and how you're going to be putting in EDI and what it should cost? Is he going to be able to figure out when you should put in barcoding and how much money it should make you? Is this guy going to be able to measure, know the optimum capacity for the new branches and how many you should have? Is this the same guy that's going to be able to figure out how many acquisitions you should do versus, you know, homegrown stores? Does he have to go, and if he's going to learn how to do that, is he going to go back to school to learn that? And when would he go back to school? He's on a forklift. He's supervising a shipping and receiving clerk. He's talking to the guys who are driving a truck. He's getting up in the morning and figuring out if he has donuts at the main counter. Now, that's a real problem. I'm trying to be very specific. That's a problem for a $20 million company, which is the guys on the phone. Those are the guys, you know, logging onto this radio program. That's your challenge, isn't it? The guy who brought you to the dance, the guy that got you this far, that you're really loyal to, that makes you the money, and you're so pleased that they got you here. How can you get them to go, you know, bring you further? Can you imagine if you're trying to go to 100 million? Can you get that person to help you? Can they rot? Can they change? Can you do it through coaching? Can you do it through school? Do you have to change and hire somebody else? Now, after the break, I'm going to tell you a story about a company who kept that guy. And through coaching, they did grow over the last 5 years. They grew to 100 million. That guy's still there, and they've done this. Okay, I'll be right back. I'll tell you how they did it. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
The challenge of change comes as ramped up due to the advent of information age and the interconnectedness of global community. In a high-tech world, the ability to embrace change, adapt, and respond accordingly is key to personal and professional success. Talking Change with Ann Powers, airing every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, explores the hows, whys, and what to do's when faced with change. Embrace the new reality. Adopt transition into your personal power portfolio and tune into Talking Change with Ann Powers every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Right here on the Bottom Line Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist?
Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace, as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
You're listening to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. If you would like to call into the show, dial toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, and we're doing a solo show today. I'm sharing some of my observations and thoughts about companies that are using executive coaching to grow their business aggressively. And this is unusual. Normally each week we have, you know, CEOs that are sharing their experience with their different growth strategy of the week. And I'm seeing a number of companies using coaching, and I'm trying to explain some of the ways that I've seen it used successfully. Now, you got to be careful. I've seen some mistakes being used, so I'm starting with some of the positive. I left off at the break with an example of a company that is in wholesale distribution, and they're at about 20 million. They had one of those doers, you know, one of those guys that got them to 20 million, runs the warehouse, and then they paused and they said, I don't know if this is going to be the guy that's going to take us to 100. We can see the potential for us to go to 100, but I don't know if this is the guy. They sat down and they had a powwow with this guy, and they said, okay, now we're making our strategic plan says, we can take over this region. We have that potential. We can see what's going on with the competition, that if we get real aggressive in sales, we could take over this particular section of the MRO accounts. We can take over this section of the industrial accounts. These are the large contractors. I mean, they knew what they were bringing in. And they shared with him the vision. They didn't talk operations at first. They shared with him the sales vision of which kind of accounts they were going to be bringing in. And they said, okay, now these are the towns that we want to target. We don't have locations there. So I want you to think through, with the existing trucks that we have and the existing warehouse that we have, this I think is going to be too expensive. I think it's going to take too long for these trucks to get out there. That's not going to work. So, in about a week, 2 weeks, you come back and you tell us, what are you going to worry about? What are you worried about? That if this starts to happen, if we hire these salespeople and we start making the moves toward going after these accounts, what's going to go wrong first? And what are you going to do about it? So they posed the problem to him, and they assumed that he was going to care and that he would rise to the occasion to at least be caring about it. Okay, so it was a combination response of he had some things that he came back with, and he says, okay, now here's what I could do. Some of it he did know. He knew more than they knew. He came back with, all right, I could open a branch in this town over here, and here's how I'd do it. I knew a warehouse. I have a buddy, and he had some very tangible ideas he'd been thinking about and felt held back by the previous owners, and he knew what to do. He knew about the square footage. He knew what the layout needed to be. He just needed reassurance that he was going to have the financial backing. He asked for help. He asked for appropriate help. It was wonderful. It was beautiful to hear. He wanted the accountant, you know, the people in the accounting department to help him with some of the numbers and to run the budgets. And so he says, okay, now just walk me through it so I know how to do it. I don't want to spend too much money. I don't want to blow this. And it was wonderful to watch, okay? This was his dry run for him to open a new branch, the first one that he'd ever opened. He said, but I have no idea how we're going to do this other piece. I don't know how we're going to do that. So the sales manager spoke up and said, okay, I can walk you through that part. So they actually had the VP of sales providing some coaching to this operations guy. And it was just, you know, peer-to-peer. It was quiet, off on the side, didn't make a big deal out of it because you don't want to embarrass him. And he got some information about what the customers were expecting. He got some information about, you know, that these big accounts were expecting electronic. They were expecting, you know, the warehouse to be a different way. They were expecting that the showroom was going to be a different way, that they were expecting that the counter was going to be a different way. And they arranged for some field trips. And it was peer-to-peer. It wasn't even the boss that did it. And then the third piece was the president sat down with him and said, okay, I think you don't even know what you don't know. So let's talk about some field visits, because I don't want you blindsided by all this, and it's not reasonable for me to expect you to know some of this stuff, and I don't even know when we're going to need it. But I think these companies that have 100 million, they're doing some things that we've never needed to do. So before we hit it, let's build it into your schedule, and let's send you out on field trips for you to see what the electronic, the EDI looks like. Let's send you on some trips for you to see what the system-wide computer systems look like. What does the CLIP systems look like? That they're the CRM systems look like. I want you to see what the different kind of warehouse layouts look like, so you have some choices. So he did it on three different levels. You follow what I'm saying? Some that the individual guy said, this is what I can offer, here's what I'd propose. A colleague did for him, and the president did for him. And they made a schedule for this guy's development. Now, one of the things that happened was periodically he'd panic. Periodically he'd regress. And he'd say, this is stupid, I want to go back to my real work. And he'd have his mouth run, and he'd start to swear, and he'd get crude, and he wouldn't understand why people wanted him to wear suits and junk like that. And partly it was a test to see whether or not the company was serious about the growth. Partly it was a test to find out whether or not they were serious about him growing. Partly it was a test to see whether or not he could do it, and did he have the confidence. And it was a test to see if the CEO was going to follow through with his coaching. And fortunately, the CEO did. Now, he didn't embarrass the guy in a public setting, in a big group. He would come back in the individual sessions, and they had scheduled sessions. And there's, I think, if I remember right, we're about every other week. And he'd come back to him, and he'd say, okay, what was that regression about? Let's just talk, because I know you're in trouble when you do that. And walk through, okay, here's the kind of behaviors we're looking for you from, from a VP of operations in our organization at this point, here's what we need from you. And we got to replace it from instead of you, whenever you get nervous, to acting like that, to coming to me directly and saying, here's what I don't know, here's what I need, instead of acting like an idiot in front of the group. You're a leader, we're needing you to be a role model, we can't have you panic like that. You got to tell me when you're nervous one-on-one. So they changed, so he wouldn't get reinforced for acting like that in public, you follow it? So they changed the venue of when the guy would reveal when he was nervous. They changed it to when it would be one-on-one with the CEO. That was very different for this guy. It would be private with the president. So now the one-on-one coaching sessions were more collegial, much more open, much more, what do you need from me? What don't you know? Let's figure that out. And they had five major priorities that they would work on each quarter. Sometimes it would be getting him tutoring in finance because he didn't understand the budgets. Sometimes it was, sending him on field trips. Sometimes it was teaching him how to teach his people. Sometimes it was getting help from the HR folks on how to recruit higher level talent. They had five priorities for this guy, and each quarter he would lift higher and higher and higher. The last time he regressed, and he regressed one last time, he wondered if, there was grass greener in some other place. He actually wondered, after all that investment in him and the company growing the way it was and the more money that he was making and the progress he made, he looked at other organizations. He actually went out to some other wholesale places to see what kind of job he could get. He got a little cocky that he was wonderful and that it was him. And he looked out at some of the other places, and he came back and he said, I think I can do better here. And it anchored him. It definitely anchored him to stay where he was, because he saw that people believed in him. He saw that he had been invested in. He saw that he was actually learning, and it was going to be more fun to stay and continue to learn than to go someplace else where he was going to be left behind. Now, this company is headed towards $500 million, and it's going to take him another 5 years to hit it, probably. But this guy did this journey. Now, it was hard. It took a lot of work. And they could have gone backwards. They could have said, okay, if you're not willing to do this, we're not going to spend this kind of money. But he was worth it. Now, let me give you another example of a client where they did something very similar, and the guy didn't rise to the occasion. In their situation, what it was, and I'll pick the same industry, the sales manager just absolutely had the worst time letting go of the big accounts. They spent the time bringing in a coach for him from the outside to train him on how to be a sales manager. He resisted having meetings. He resisted doing reports. He kept fighting, saying, I'm going to hang on to the big accounts. This analysis of the pipeline doesn't make any sense to me. We don't need to do that. It's just, these guys can just go out there and they just make more calls. That's all they need to do. And this analysis paralysis stuff doesn't make any sense. Nobody looks at these reports anyway. The company spent some money to give him, they did the same model. The same model as the one I just described, where if he acted like that in a group, the president said, didn't embarrass him, did it privately, gave him the chance of saying, if you regress like that, that tells me that you're just nervous, talk to me one-on-one, give me a chance so that we can, because that just means you're nervous and it's something that you don't know. Let's have that kind of conversation one-on-one instead of in a group. Only this guy was determined that he was going to stay the same. He was just basically saying, I know what I'm doing. I don't have to learn anything. I'm worth the big bucks. And all this new technique, what you're talking about, isn't really necessary to take us to $100 million. They had to let him go. And the coaching process that they used to reveal the difference, they could see the difference. That's the point. Because they used the same kind of coaching methods of having the HR people available to help him hire, to have the accounting people available to help him learn how to do the budgets, to have the president available to do the one-on-one, okay, tell me what you're afraid of, let's talk about it one-on-one. What are your top priorities for this quarter? Let's get you some seminar work, let's get you some field trips, let's work on whatever is blocking it. And he didn't respond the same way. He could see the difference between him and the operations guy. And that sales manager's gone. Because how are they going to grow to $100 million? With a sales manager that's going to refuse to track a pipeline, refuse to have meetings, refuse to let go of big accounts, refuse to let go of regression, roll his eyes when he's at an executive team meeting, refuse to have sales training for people who have a problem closing big accounts, refuse to analyze territories. There's one thing you can do at 20 million that you can't tolerate at 100. So those are two examples of the same approach to coaching. One result that was positive was the guy that they didn't think that would become, it's like silk purse out of a sow's ear, did it. They really have turned this guy into something that they never thought they would. And in another situation, the same approach helped them see that a star salesperson was never going to make it as their sales manager. They even decided that they better not keep him as a salesman because he was going to be a deterrent to them becoming more professional in their management. They had to let this guy go to another place. That approach to coaching really kept them centered in knowing, we're going to be moving on. We're moving on to this 100 million, and the behavior and the rhythm and the whole, the habits, the approach to the business is just different at that kind of scale. Okay, next story. I got a couple minutes in at the break. I'll tell you the rest of it. Family-owned business had not used coaching at all. What they had done is basically fought with each other. And the brother who was the president, looked over at his operations brother, and, he was not doing his part. He was stuck at a certain level, where he would visit the various locations. And, he just stayed at the level that he had been at for 10 years. So how could a family-owned business use coaching when its siblings involved? I want you to think about that. Because after the break, I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk to you about how coaching can help break up the impasse that some family-owned businesses have. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONA. ALDONNA, thegrowthstrategist.com, achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-233-7861. Now back to another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, and I'm Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking, well, I'm on my own here. I'm sharing some examples of how some companies that I've worked with over the years have grown their businesses through coaching. And executive coaching of various types has helped some companies really achieve some very accelerated growth. And what I left off with at the break was a family-owned business. Now, they have a lot of trouble sometimes, and the question they have is, who gets the coaching? Does the president of the company get the coaching, or do you bring it in for all the siblings? Do you bring it in for the manager that's not responding? I mean, how do you do that? Well, obviously the answer can be all of the above. In this situation, what happened is the one brother who had been named president was really frustrated with his sibling, his other brother, who was in the operations role. And he wasn't carrying his weight. And one of the ways that he wasn't carrying his weight was that he was just staying stuck. He was staying at the same level that he was for a long, long time, liked his job the way it was. And even though there were growth plans, when they met as a board, they said, well, we want to have 25 locations, and we want to have new systems, and yada, yada, blah, blah, words. There didn't seem to be any recognition that there needed to be a change in the job. So how does the sibling affect that? Now, ask yourself, would you yourself try to do the coaching if you were the president? Or would you bring some outsider in for yourself or for your brother or both? Now, what I've seen help the most is the same coach for both. And the reason is because that way you can look at the corporation as the primary client. Coaches, even though they're not the same as consultants with the content expertise, the client still is the company. See, now, Most of the time when you hear about coaches, you hear about them helping the individual. And a lot of times the payment is made by the individual, and it's about them as the tool. And that's what I said early in the presentation here. It's about what's stopping you from doing it. But it's not personal therapy. It's not you talking about what makes you mad and, why you're unhappy. And if that's what it's about, you personally should be paying for the therapist or the coach privately. The company wouldn't be doing it. So if it's about you and your work and it's related to the business and the business is footing the bill, the primary client, even though it's about, you as a tool and how you're responding and what do you need to do, and it's going to feel pretty personal, the company is the client. So the same coach can work for both the siblings in this case. Now, they're going to be emphasizing different things. In the case of the president, the conversation with the coach is going to be, okay, how can you sound more presidential? What is it about you that's sounding like just an irritated brother? What is it about you that is, you're not being patient enough? What is it about your brother that you're not hearing? How can we improve your listening skills? How can we, spell out what your expectations are more clearly? Because that can happen. They just get into a routine and they're not being clear. And how do you break the habits of, something that may be triggering you from when you were kids and you get mad when you don't need to be mad and you just need to be more matter of fact? How can we change the rhythm of your communication with your brother to be more presidential? And then with the time that you're talking with the person in operations, okay, let's talk about where the company is going. What's the vision of the business? How many locations? What's the company going to need that is different from what it needs now? What are the operational elements that are different from what you're doing now? What makes you resistant to it? What part do you understand? What part don't you understand? What part do you want to do? What part do you think somebody else could do? What could the budget afford? Where are you going to need to learn this? Is there an outside seminar? Is an outside course? Is this something that you could do internally? What part of this can you say to your brother? What part of this do you need to tell somebody else? And that it, there's a buffer there. I think the role of the coach at first serves as a little bit of a buffer to give the brothers a chance to deal with the issues before they have to deal with each other. And then the coach ends up being a mediator in a lot of cases, where once they get them thinking about where were they stuck, what do they need to do, where is the company headed, then you bring them both together and say, okay, let's practice the skills that we're talking about. And the president says, okay, here's where we're going. Here's what I think I need from the operations area. Here's what we've learned from the board. Here's what the number of locations called for. Here's what I think I can see in the operations area. And then shuts up. Okay, and then the operations person says, okay, here's how far I've gotten. And just the presence of the coach, just the presence of the third person who knows what the other two have been dealing with, has walked them through what they, you know, kind of knows their BS, you know, knows the personal side of it. The coach isn't going to have to say much. They don't have to really facilitate the meeting very much at all. They can be pretty quiet. And it's interesting to watch. I've been in this role. The president and the operations person, the brothers, can behave. They know how to. Once they've had that chance to have some separate help, a little bit of permission to grow up and talk about the role without having to deal with each other all the time, do that a few times and a coach can make a difference in a sibling situation. Okay, let's try another family situation, and siblings again. I dealt with one where it was a business that was in surfactants, and that's a chemical that helps ground retain water. And it's kind of amazing, actually. You know, the golf courses that need to have the greens retain water so that the greens look green. So if you can think about it, they would have somebody that was in research and development, somebody else that might be in sales, somebody else that was in marketing, you know, all the traditional kinds of roles. And in their case, the sister was a president. One of the sisters was a president in administration, was great at finance, great at administration. One of the brothers was marvelous at sales, and another sister was marvelous at the international relations and the big deals and in marketing, was just very talented at that. And they had some non-siblings that were in marketing and in R&D. So they had a mix of people who were within the family and outside the family. Now, where would a coach help them? Now, there's obviously a whole potential series of issues in any business that has five key people, and they're, you know, that the scale of the businesses that are listening to this program. In their case, one of the issues would be how aggressive the company is going to grow in new product development. Okay, how many new products to how many new markets? You know, who makes that kind of decision? And, you know, how much chance are we going to take? Are we going to be really aggressive and go into debt? Are we going to do it a little bit at a time? Are we going to stay strictly with the golf courses and the sport fields? Or are we going to go into the horticultural and the you know, other kind of businesses? So, I mean, that kind of negotiation is a big thing. So where would a coach help a company like that? It could be the board, because where's the direction of the business? It could be the family council, because what is the purpose of the business, and what does the family want? It could be the management team, because, you know, how are the decisions made, and the relationship between the siblings and the non-sibling managers. So one of the things you look at is, where is it getting bogged down? Where is the lack of clarity? It could only be the president that needs the assistant. Maybe the president is feeling unsure. Maybe they're not feeling strong enough. Sometimes presidents that, you know, have grown with the business up from the ranks, you know, to become fully presidential is just an individual decision. So when you deploy a coach, before you do it, you got to pause and ask, where's the intervention point? Now, in this case, the intervention point was with the president because they were the change agent. That person was the change agent to lift the organization into new behavior. It wasn't a matter of lack of skill. It wasn't a matter of lack of capability or interest or anything like that. They were just the positive change agent. And that person hadn't done it. You know, this woman hadn't done it that many times, but wanted to learn some of those techniques. So the coaching was more for the person to become more presidential. So there were some times that I was deployed to help the board. There were some times I was deployed to help the family council. There were some times I was deployed to help the management team, but always through the president. Now think about that. Are there situations in your organization where you want it to lift, you want it to go up, and you're working on a lot of different levels, and you know that you're stretching your skills? One minute you're trying to become much more of a CEO, and you know you're slipping back into being the chief doer. Maybe you're a technology person and you're slipping back into being the chief technology officer, and you just need a little more something. You don't even know what it is. Is it more confidence? Is it more knowledge? Is it more objectivity? Is it something? What is it that would help you be more effective? Would a coach for you be able to see the dynamics of what your situation is? Would it help you be more objective? Would it help you be more effective? Would it help you be, you know, go do it faster? I mean, if it would help you save time, if it would help you be more clear, that certainly make you money. So sometimes having a coach for the company where it's always through the CEO, it's clear that it's like an extension of the CEO's office, is the most effective deployment of an executive coach, particularly someone, you know, that's had experience with growth-oriented companies. That way it's not a loose cannon. I've seen sometimes where there's been mistakes of using coaches where you never know who deployed them. You know, they're like one minute they're with the sales department, the next minute they're with operations, the next minute they're with the board, the next minute they're with, you know, whatever department. You can't tell how they got there. And it might have been that they were really effective in sales and they went down the hallway and they said, can I help you? Well, wait a minute. You got to know who deployed them so that it's not disruptive. So one of the key things is, in the beginning, to do an analysis of the dynamics of the business. Where are the key issues? What is the key goal? Is the company looking to grow? What are the key dynamics? What are the key places where some objectivity could make a difference? Who are the major change agents that might need kind of an extension of their impact? And a coach can be an extension of the impact of a key person. So a lot of times the coach is an extension of a CEO. And that's what I feel like sometimes, that the CEO is just, you know, bringing me on to make sure that they're not missing something. And you see, most of the time, you know, I'm working with rapidly growing companies. I'm part of the Gazelles organization, and we work, and Gazelles is the description of our clients, you know, people that are looking for 50 to 100% growth a year. And that's pretty dynamic if you're an existing company. A startup might be, well, you know, that's not a big deal for a startup, but for, you know, existing company that's at 15, 20, 30, 40 million, you know, 50% growth is a dynamic kind of situation where you're hiring like crazy, and you're doing lots of new buildings and you're doing growth financing. Do you need an extension of your CEO's office? Okay, after the break, we'll come back and we'll consider one other piece of what's the best way to deploy executive coaching. This is the Growth Strategist with Aldana Amber. We'll be right back.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Achieve total wealth management. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern on Business America Radio. Three-Dimensional Wealth is a show dedicated to teaching you a values-based approach to comprehensive total wealth management through practical strategies and expert advice. Take your first step down the road of financial independence. Listen to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Tune into Small Business Trends Radio with Anita Campbell every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Each week, Anita and expert guests provide a big picture view of the small business market, identifying the trends and major events driving the robust growth of the small business market. Whether you are a small business owner or a company of any size desiring to sell small businesses or reach the small business market with a product or service, Small Business Trends Radio is your resource for trends that influence the global small business market. Right here on the Bottom Line for Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Business information you need, from the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
You're listening to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. If you would like to call into the show, dial toll free at 1-866-233-7861. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is Aldana Ambler, The Growth Strategist, and I want to make sure that you have my contact information. I am at www.thegrowthstrategist.com, or the toll-free number is 1-888-ALDONA. If you know my name, it's easy to get me. Email is aldana@ambler.com. And I think I'm going to get some calls from this, because, and I'd like to invite you to. I'd love some stories from you about how you've used executive coaches, or some nightmares about things that have gone wrong, because it doesn't always go well. I think there's some vagueness about what executive coaches can and can't do, and there's some vagueness about how they should be paid. Most coaches that I've seen have been on retainer. They have a contract for a certain number of hours, and there's a rhythm to what they do. There might be, for example, up to 2 phone calls a month, and they have email and fax communication in between. One of the things that's difficult or vague for beginning coaches is, where does the agenda come from? And there'd be some clients that they would like to just get on the phone and just start to talk, and whatever's on their mind that week, that's what they tell the coach to talk about. And then those are the types of clients that after a few weeks or a few months, they're very dissatisfied with the coaching because they feel like it's too reactive. Well, it's because both the coach and the client set it up to be a problem. Early on, when you have a coaching situation, early in the process, you negotiate with each other. Where does the agenda come from? What do you expect from each other? If you have a 6-month coaching arrangement, at the end of the 6 months, how much more do you want to know? How much more money do you want to be making? Which problems did you want to have addressed? Which behaviors, which habits did you want to have broken? Which key decisions did you want to make? Just like when somebody's losing weight, you know, when they have a coach to lose weight, or they have a coach to exercise, you know, the personal trainers, you know, they will have said, did you want to work on your abs? Did you want to work on your arms? Did you want to work on your hips? You know, they didn't just say, let's get together and we'll exercise, and have no direction to what they wanted to do. But I've seen people do that with business. They want to get on the phone and talk about whatever comes up. No. There is a purpose to the calls. So if you find yourself as a client, if you're the one that is setting the appointment, setting the agenda every time you're talking, you have a pretty passive coach. On the other hand, if you have a coach who is saying to you, today we're going to talk about marketing, and here's the 3 assignments I'm going to give you, and they never listen to you, and they never negotiated with you what was on your mind, what were you worried about, they never prearranged, you know, the purpose of the whole contract and where you were headed and why that might have been a topic, that ain't going to help you at all. You hear it? So early on in the course of a contract, make sure you have an agreement. of what you're paying for, what the results are, and how do you know if you're making enough progress. Just like any other kind of contract, you look for results. It's not just hours. So even if it's a retainer, even if it's number of calls per month, you're looking for a sense of progress. I personally like the ones that are 6 months or a year, and you have interim evaluations of one another so that you can modify what you're doing, because maybe the days that you chose to talk or the way that you're doing it or how you're keeping records are not sufficient for you, and you need a chance to give each other feedback. Even the most experienced coaches need some feedback. They might be getting kind of old at what they're doing, and they need evaluation from you that their style is not working for you. If you leave it too open-ended, you can have some bad feelings. Executive coaching is real popular. If you're serious about growing your business, especially if you've got some chronic problems, I've seen some people who have chronic difficulties with cash flow, chronic problems with high turnover in like a role in like the CFO's office, or they've never had a decent sales manager, and they've tolerated those kind of things for year after year. This might be the year for you to consider having an executive coach help you look at your chronic recurring problems. Why not? It's easier to have a little bit of help with someone who cares about you, respects you as an owner of a business or as the president of a company, is going to look at the reasons. You might have some blind spots. There's so many reasons that we could have blind spots. Maybe you have favorites. You know, there's favoritism that's involved. Maybe it's an area of the business that you used to work in, and so that you understand it better than another. There could be a reason that, you don't understand it. Whatever it is, this might be the year for you to get past it. Why carry on the burden of some vagueness? Why protract a problem from last year into the next year that's easily fixed with some conversations, once a month, twice a month, with somebody who's been there, done that? Be careful who you choose as a coach, as a mentor, as a guide. They need to show respect for you. They need to have some knowledge. If it feels like an insultant, drop it. If it makes you feel bad when you're on the phone, if it makes you feel like you're stupid and less capable, that's not what you're buying. You're going to go through a phase when you're going to wonder, am I doing the right thing? Is it helping me? You're going to feel uneasy when you're learning a new skill. But really good coaching makes you feel stronger, and it makes you feel more capable. It doesn't make you feel worse. Make sure you're not paying good money for insults. There's a lot of them out there. That's when it's about their ego and not yours. My wish for you, as it is every week, is for accelerated growth with sustained profitability. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.